We are now joined by Representative Christy Purcell on the Rich and Ryan in the Morning program. Good morning, Representative Purcell. How are you?
Just fine. Good morning, Rich and Ryan. Thanks for having me on a non-Friday.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Do you want to come back tomorrow, too?
I mean, things are changing so quickly. That, I hope there's not a lot of things that change between today and tomorrow, but you never know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I got my fingers crossed. Anyway, at least for you, I do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. By the way, I have to say, your sweater is just looking so cozy and comfy. I'm so jealous.
Oh, I'm like, only wearing cozy things these days.
Good call.
Especially with the cold. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you, Ryan.
Yeah. but today, you know, it's going to be 36 or
balmy.
Something.
It's going to be a heat wave for it like
is.
A day.
Great day That's to right. get out and walk yeah. your dog.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Sure. Uh-huh. Absolutely. So, Representative Purcell, part of the reason you are able to be in studio with us today.
On a Thursday.
Is because you are not sitting in the legislature right now.
No, I'm not in the chamber.
Or the chamber, I should say. Just to recap very quickly what's going on, would you please do that for
sure.
us? Because, because I'm like, I could explain
it.
I could explain it, but it's going to take me 20 minutes to do it.
Oh, yeah. We don't have that kind of time, no. Rich.
Well, you know, we do because I'm in charge.
Well, I don't. I'm sorry. I'm okay. afraid. Okay. So I think last time we talked, we were talking about the possibility of the Democrats not going to St. Paul on Tuesday, which was the hopeful first day that the session was going to convene. So what happened on Tuesday instead is that the GOP members and their guests came to the floor. Secretary of State Steve Simon, which is quite the tongue twister, came into the chamber as is required by our constitution and our statute. He convened, everyone did the pledge, and there was a prayer, and then everyone, all the members there rose their right hand and took the oath of office. And then they did a roll call. The Secretary of State determined a quorum was not present and adjourned the legislature. And it's what happened after that that is pretty unprecedented. We're seeing this happen in different states, but so then after that, and that's a non-negotiable motion, the motion to adjourn, and so he adjourned the body. Then a GOP member came up to the front of the chamber, climbed up the stairs, grabbed the gavel, and recognized a member, the GOP floor leader, Harry Nisca, who appealed the motion of the presiding officer, and they all voted in favor of that and then decided that a quorum was present. So the backstory is the people of Minnesota sent a tie, 67 GOP members, 67 DFL members, and neither of those makes a majority. So 68 is a majority of the body, as our constitution has been interpreted from the beginning of our state's existence. And so Republicans just deciding that 67 is a quorum and a majority suddenly does not make it so. So everything that has happened since Steve Simon banged the gavel is fraudulent, is invalid, and is in fact, I mean, I think much worse than that, especially as we are looking to the swearing in of a president next week who's been convicted of felonies. And it's unlawful, I guess, to say the least. And the precedent that it sends is potentially chilling. And so then Tuesday evening, the DFL and the Secretary of State had filed petitions with the Minnesota Supreme Court, asking them to take up this matter as soon as possible. And as of yesterday, the GOP leaders were served the papers to say that by today they need to file in court. And then the oral arguments will be held a week from today, so Thursday next week, about basically this comes down to what makes a quorum and how that's been how that's been interpreted historically and how that's being interpreted right now.
Okay. All right. where to start on this. The quorum issue,
mm-hmm.
right? This is laid out in the Constitution.
It is.
Correct? And the number of members of the legislature is not laid out in the Constitution.
It is.
It is.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then what makes the Republicans think that there's a quorum?
Great question. So there are 130 there are 134 seats mm-hmm. in the House of Representatives.
Okay.
And that means, first of all, weird that we did it with an even number, because now this is the second time in state history to have a tie, which is why we're sort of in this situation.
You need to propose a constitutional amendment adding one more member to the House.
I mean, I think after this debacle, there would probably be a lot of support for that.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yes.
So with 134 members of the body, and the reason why that is because Minnesota does nested districts. So there's an odd number in the Senate, but because each Senate district is then divided into two House districts, mm-hmm. that's why, regardless of the number of Senate districts, we'll still have an even number. Anywho, okay, so it says in the Constitution we have 134 seats in the Minnesota House, and we then, therefore, a quorum is 50%, which is 67,
mm-hmm.
plus mm-hmm. one,
mm-hmm. right,
which is 68. Mm-hmm. Now, right now, we have a vacancy in one of those seats.
Yes.
So there are only 133 members who have been sworn into office at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so what Republicans are saying is, well, but we have the majority of the number of people who have been sworn in.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting point, because what they're also saying is that another one of our members who won in a very close race, they're not going to seat him.
And are they saying still?
They are still saying,
because
that
there was a judge that ruled 2 days ago.
Yep.
That this is Brad Tabke of Shakopee.
That's right.
Ruled that he won. Is that being appealed? Is that, I mean, I do you know?
There's not been an appeal yet of that, and basically, it doesn't seem like the Republicans are going to try to do that, because we do have jurisdiction in the House to seat or unseat members.
Mm-hmm.
So in the case of, I believe, it's a pretty horrific time, maybe in the 1970s, where there mm-hmm. was a member credibly accused of, like, child pornography.
Okay.
And the House decided, well, we're not going to wait for the courts.
Right.
I'm sorry, you gotta go.
Yeah.
So the body has that right to seat or not seat members.
Okay.
I believe it takes a 2/3 majority.
Okay.
Or at least a majority.
Okay.
But again, these folks are claiming that suddenly 67 is a majority, and they have, the reason why I didn't show up is because they have said they don't care what the court ruling is. They don't want to seat Brad Tabke. Even though he won his election, he won the majority of 21,980 voters in Shakopee.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He has been through hell. He not only won the election, he won the recount, he won the court trial, and they are still saying, but we don't like the outcome. We think if there's a special election, we could take it.
Right.
And why would they stop there? They have actually insinuated that there are other members of our side that they would just like to not seat,
mm-hmm.
which is literally, like, the basis of our Constitution is that the voters pick the members and not the membership of the body getting to decide who the members are of the House.
That is exactly it right there. I feel like they're just saying, nope, sorry, elections don't matter.
Yeah.
We're going to do what we want.
That is why we have taken the dramatic step of not showing up,
yeah.
because this is literally, it's a coup. I mean, some people might not qualify it as that, and it looks very, it looks very formal. You know, the things are still broadcast on TV, the work groups, because
mm-hmm.
There's no Democrats at any of the committee hearings.
Right. So they're all work groups.
They're all work groups.
Yep.
There is no, the House is not duly organized. The executive branch has not recognized them as duly organized. This is being taken to the state Supreme Court. And so even though it's not like the January 6th riots on the Capitol in Washington, D.C., you know, there's not face paint and there's not bloodshed.
Yeah.
Right.
We hope.
Right.
Not yet. I mean, Tuesday, we were all scared for the staff
yeah.
there
because
mm-hmm. We did not know what was going to happen.
Right.
And people are angry, and I get it, and it's complicated. And I have gotten a lot of, you know, do your job. And I have to say, I am doing my job, which is trying to protect our democracy and this institution and serve the people. Because if I show up and they say, oh, well, we already have a speaker and you know what? We're not going to seat you. And, oh, you pissed us off. We're not going to seat you. And we're not going to seat you. That's disenfranchising thousands and thousands of Minnesota voters. And I want this to truly be a representative democracy, which is why even though governing in a tie sounds like it might really suck, but that's what the people of Minnesota chose. Right. And so, like, I'm going to do it. That's my job, whether I'm in the minority, the majority, or a tie-ority. That's my job. And I want to honor the will of the people of Minnesota.
Okay. I don't think the Republicans have much of a leg to stand on with when it comes to Representative Tapke. However, this other seat that's open, I think they have a much stronger leg to stand on. The representative in who won in
Roseville. Yep. Seat 40B.
Yeah, does not live in that district. And if you're stupid enough, I'm sorry, I'm going to say that. If you're stupid enough to think you can pull that off, then you just got to deal with the consequences. Now, this guy even said, yeah, you're right, I don't live there, so I'm just not even going to try. I do feel like that in and of itself gives the Republicans a majority until... there's a special election.
It gives them a plurality.
A plurality, okay.
They have one more vote than...
Right.
Yep.
And even if you guys were showing up to work, I would look at that and say, yeah, the Republicans have the right to vote in leadership at that point. I mean, what is the party's stance on that situation?
So two things I want to say about that. One... my B-side, the representative from Farmington for a very long time, Pat Garofalo.
Yeah.
Pat, you know, Republican.
Yeah.
Made no secret that the last 2 years, my first 2 years in the legislature, he did not live in his district.
Really?
Oh, yeah. This is an open secret. He's not the only one. I'm calling him out because he's not an elected official right now.
Right.
See,
there are others... There are others.
Yeah. Representative Garofalo, if you're listening, you have, or former representative, you have an open invitation to come and talk about this. Absolutely.
I'm pretty sure he's not going to want to talk about it.
Okay.
But there are these situations. His seat is a safe red seat.
Yeah.
So we have not sent trackers to photograph him driving to Lakeville every night and laying his head versus driving to Farmington every night to lay his head.
Right.
It's wrong.
Are there?
I'm going to say unequivocally that is wrong.
Okay, I'm going to ask you. I'm just going to ask you: are there other members of the House of Representatives who do not live in their district?
I would,
without asking you to name names,
I would be shocked if that was not true.
Okay.
I mean, I would be shocked. I would be shocked if every single person lived in their districts.
All right. Well, that's not right, though.
It's not right.
I'm sorry.
It's not right.
It is. It's worth insisting on.
And here's the thing, too. When Greater Minnesota members get elected and the taxpayers pay for apartments for them in St. Paul, there's a lot of folks who just stay in St. Paul.
Yeah.
See, no.
So that's all to say. So that's my first point.
Okay.
It's wrong.
Yeah.
I'm going to say unequivocally, it is wrong.
Yes.
Secondly, what we have seen in the Minnesota Senate... which pains me to say because we have this kind of St. Olaf Carleton rivalry, but how much is it real and how much isn't it?
Yeah.
It pains me to say that the Minnesota Senate worked out a power sharing agreement.
Yeah.
They took the basis and all the work that GOP leader Lisa Daymuth and DFL leader Melissa Hortman had worked on for 60 days. Mm-hmm. They took that as the blueprint. Mm-hmm. And they finished the job and they came up with the power sharing agreement because right now in the Minnesota Senate, it is tied.
Yeah.
Because DFL had a member die in office.
Yeah.
Like just a horrifically sad long-term member, former majority leader. Carrie Dietzick died in office. There's a special election in less than 2 weeks now, same date as our special election, to fill that seat. That is a safe blue seat. So the way that the Senate is And like, we'll see. We're going to let the people of mm-hmm. Minnesota decide. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, while it's a tie, the Senate has agreed on power sharing. You have control of the chamber this day. We have control this day. We have co-chairs for committees, alternating gavels, same number of members on committees.
Yeah.
During this two-week period, while there's a tie, depending, you know, if the DFL can regain that seat and then they have a one-vote majority, it'll go back to governing as a majority. That was the offer that the DFL made to the GOP to say, you know what, while we're in a tie, let's govern tied. Mm-hmm. And we will provide quorum and we'll agree to, but you have to agree to seat all of our members who have election certificates. Mm-hmm. And they would refuse to do that. They refuse to do that.
Is there any resistance to the date of the election for the Senator Dedzic's seat?
I don't probably because yesterday the Supreme Court heard arguments on the date for our special election. So I presume it was for both chambers, the special election in Roseville for the House, the special election in Minneapolis for the Senate.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll rule today or tomorrow whether this is a constitutional date for the special election to be on the 28th. Otherwise, it might have to be pushed back.
All right. So here's the other thing that a lot of people are really upset about. You're not going to work.
I sure am. I'm just not going to work in St. Paul.
You're still getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
And that is upsetting to a lot of people, including, I would think, so a lot of your constituents. Where is the party stance there?
I guess I don't know that I feel comfortable speaking for the party.
Okay. Do you want to speak for yourself?
Yes,
okay.
Exactly. Absolutely. So my personal stance is, my salary is public information. Yep. It's about $51,000 a year. Mm-hmm. I do this job often more than full time. Mm-hmm. I talked about this in the election. This is not a job built for someone like me. This is not a job built for someone with a single income and with kids at home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which forces people like me to have to get another job.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, during that interim time, I can't be doing this job, but there's certainly an expectation that mm-hmm. I will be answering emails, that I'll be taking meetings with constituents, that I'll be working on bills so that when session opens and we have a very short time to do our work in St. Paul, mm-hmm. I'm ready to hit the ground running. Mm-hmm. That is a catch-22, and that is an impossible bind.
Mm-hmm.
So we all try to figure that out the best we can. I don't have a wealthy second income or, you know, spouse in my house that makes it so I could, you know, do this for free and not have to take a salary.
Right.
So I need my salary because I am still working.
Mm-hmm.
And I would actually argue the sham legislature, the work groups, mm-hmm. the pretend floor session that's happening mm-hmm. in St. Paul, those folks aren't doing their job because they are not in their districts getting feedback from their constituents. They're playing pretend. Mm-hmm. And there has been threats to take us to recounts because of malfeasance for not doing our jobs. I mean, that's an incredible amount of work. But I would argue, I mean, they took the oath of office and immediately violated it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if they're going to stay, what I found especially interesting was that last weekend was the Youth in Government weekend up at the Capitol.
Right.
And there were students who were practicing being legislators and being mm-hmm. Supreme Court justices and being the governor.
Yeah.
Right.
And that is what we are seeing the GOP do right now is they are practicing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because we will hear from the court next week.
Yep.
If this is legal and legitimate and the way that quorum has been held up in our state since our state's existence, this is not quorum.
You know, it makes me think about how I wonder if these representatives would be acting the way that they're acting, knowing that young eyes were on them and seeing how they're conducting themselves and flouting the rules. You know what I mean? It's really one of those things where you have to think about the people that you serve, not only now, but your future constituents.
Right. And that is actually my job, is to not show up in St. Paul, mm-hmm. to give credence to a peaceful coup. To an illegal power grab is I cannot be party to that because I don't want my children and my grandchildren to be able to look up in history this very unique moment and say, oh, where was my mom?
Right.
When really when it was hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like the institutionalists watching this happen, it is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And the fact that they are basically like forcing the nonpartisan staff to go along with this is cruel. And the staff don't have a choice.
No, they don't.
There's a group that has, you know, one more vote who is compelling them to go along with this sham.
Yeah. What is the plan should the court rule in favor of the Republicans?
I mean, we will abide by the Supreme Court ruling. That has never been in question. Mm-hmm. That, however, has been a question for the GOP because they are not abiding by the ruling in Shakopee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I think the bigger question is, will the GOP abide by the Supreme Court ruling if it rules against them? Because so far we haven't seen them do that.
Right.
Yeah. Well, all right. God, there was some, one more thing I wanted to ask you about, and I can't. There's so much in here that I just can't. I mean, so what are you doing? How are you spending your days right now?
So I'll be meeting with. I have been meeting with like some constituents. I went to the city, or what's it called? City Council work group meeting. Also, incredibly ironic. Their work group session on Tuesday was on good governance.
Leadership.
Yes. So, you know, I was taking notes in case any of my colleagues want to learn about that. excuse me. I met yesterday with one of the newly sworn in members of the Northfield School Board. I'm going to be having meetings with like the Nurses Association. Great. And I'm on the health committee, hopefully. So getting tours next week of different health facilities. I just have a ton of meetings set up. Oh, I attended a webinar about how states can carry on the antitrust work that's been happening at the Federal Trade Commission. And because we know that change is coming next week with a change in leadership in Washington. So making sure that that work continues. Yeah. And a bit of good news from yesterday, the FTC filed a lawsuit against John Deere for their monopolistic practices, and the states of Illinois and Minnesota joined on their lawsuit. And I will again be carrying the bill this year, as I did last year, to close the loophole for right to repair for ag.
Nice.
So we'll see if anything will happen at the federal level, but in the meantime, I continue to work with the corn growers and with the soybean growers and with Farmers Union to make it so that farmers can repair their equipment. So those are things I continue to do while I'm not in St. Paul, is working on these bills too, so that when we actually have a session, I'm ready to go.
There you go. What is right to repair, real quick? Because I just haven't heard of that term.
It is. So like, remember when you didn't used to be able to fix your iPhones because Apple had all the proprietary, like, oh, if you touch it with the screwdriver, you know, null and void, all the warranty, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
That's happening more and more with companies, especially electronics. They make it.
They don't honor warranties if you try to do your own repairs.
Exactly.
Got it.
And that is also applying to the right to repair really came of this grassroots movement of farmers and ranchers, because what we're seeing these big companies do is say you touch a tractor, you know, with the wrench that you carry on you at all times and boop, you know,
nothing.
It's $1 million and now you don't have any of the warranty. And farmers are not used to that.
No,
they're used to being able to, you know, fix their own equipment. And so this has been especially there are instances of, you know, when the tractor is parked in the field for 2 weeks missing an entire harvest that might be an entire year's income for farmers. And so we passed an electronic fair repair bill in 2023, and there was a loophole for ag equipment and gardening equipment. And so I am really excited to close that loophole for Minnesotans.
Good for you.
This is going to be the third year that you've put this. Why does this particular rule keep failing? What is it about?
There is bipartisan opposition to closing this loophole.
Why?
Because there's folks in the pocket of big ag on all sides of the aisle.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's you ask a stupid question.
I mean, I think this is like an exciting moment for us to truly govern in a tie. I mean, there's a bunch of my farmer friends who signed on to this last year.
Yeah.
And maybe this can become more bipartisan in the Senate, because
Right.
I see it as a bipartisan issue.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyone so I'm can working be affected on that. By this.
Yeah, I'm mm-hmm. working on, you know, all kinds of legislation, new and returning from previous years, working at the revisor's office, working with my Senate authors, working with the advocates in the space. So I take umbrage, and that's why I corrected you early on, Rich. I am going to work.
Yeah.
I just don't need my 1 hour commute each way to do it in St. Paul.
Right.
Well, there you have it. Christy Purcell, still working for
still
you.
Still working.